Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the Summit with Adam Tuggle. Yes, you are listening to the show right here, right now, in Jesus' name. I hope you are having a very, very blessed Saturday afternoon, Saturday morning, Saturday evening, whatever it might be, wherever you are on the East Coast, wherever you are in the Midwest, wherever you are on the West Coast. I'm praying that you are having a blessed day on today. It is a beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning. And like I say in every show, if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed. Not because you're hearing me and hearing in the words of my former pastor, my adorable voice. Now I'm explaining, y'all. If you're hearing me right now, you're blessed, not because you're listening to me, but because you are yet in the land of the living, y'all. God has given you one more day in the land of the living, and that is a reason to give God praise on today in Jesus' name. Now, today we have a very, very powerful topic on today. Yes, as we do in every on every episode, today we are going to be talking about faith. Y'all ready for this? Faith on trial. Yes, faith on trial. And we are going to dive into this topic on today because I believe it's necessary. The Lord has dealt with me on this topic on today, and it is very, 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 very necessary to be able to talk about faith on today, especially what we're going through during this pandemic and everything that we've been through in 2020. Oh my gosh. I know that it's not just here where we've had to use faith in this country, in the United States, but around the world. A lot of people have had to cling to their faith in Jesus' name. So this is what we're talking about today. We're going to dive into it right now. But first, I want to say to everyone, be encouraged. Continue to be encouraged. I know that the pandemic is spiking. I know this. I see it. Everybody sees it. But I encourage you to continue. Everybody, I can encourage you, deeply, deeply encourage you to continue to wear your masks, do everything that the CDC has stated for us to do. Mask wearing, hand sanitizer, washing your hands, keeping your social distance in Jesus' name. Now, we're getting ready to dive into this, y'all. I just had to do that first, get all the preliminaries out of the way. But on today, we're talking about faith on trial. And when you talk about faith on trial, you might say, well, Minister Adam, what is this thing called faith on trial? When you have your faith on trial, basically what it is that your faith is being tested. Amen. If your faith is never tested, if your faith is never shaken, if your faith is never tried, you won't know how good God is to you. This thing called faith is something that is very, very vital to our spiritual walk in Christ. Faith goes deeper than just believing for a new car or a new house or materialistic stuff, but faith is a spiritual term used by the believer, and it is a very, very powerful tool in our walk with Christ. Faith is nothing but belief. You must believe in what the Word of God is. That is what we call faith. And when your faith is on trial, you know, if you ever watched shows like Law and Order or any court shows, if you watch those court shows, you see that the prosecution brings evidence to try to convict the defendant. The defendant's side, they bring their evidence to try to overturn what the prosecution has in their evidence. Amen. And if you use this on a spiritual term, the devil is the prosecutor, and you are the defendant. And Jesus is the judge. And, you know, just like, and we've seen this before, if we look in the book of Job, the devil was, you know, looking for somebody that he could go after. Amen. And he sought out Job. But you see, if we read the Word of God, and a lot of Bible scholars, you know where I'm going with this. The Bible clearly states that that the devil was going after Job, but he had to get God's permission first. He had to go to the judge first. And the judge, in the spiritual sense, the judge gave him permission to do anything he wanted. He could take away his livelihood. He can take away anything. But he gave him one direct order where he could not touch him. That's his life. Just like a judge gives order to the courtroom, a judge might say, the prosecutor could do this and the prosecution could do that, but they can't do this. I'm not going to submit that. I'm not going to take that into evidence. I'm not going to take that into thought. I'm not going to do that. And so when you have that, now you are, in the spiritual. That's the same thing that Jesus did with Job. He said, when the devil came to him, he said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" The devil was like, "Yeah, I'm considering him, because if you move your hedge," he was telling the Lord, "if you move your hedge, he'll curse you to your face." This is the evidence that the devil brought. If you move your hand, he'll curse you to your face. And the Lord gave him permission to do anything he wanted to do, but not touch his life. So when the devil came into Job's area, from where the Lord told him, "Hey, you can do this, but you can't do that. You can't touch his life." He did everything he could to Job. And it says that Job held his integrity. Now, if we break this down, the integrity part is the faith part. Job had a lot of faith in God to the point that, hey, he said, if, you know, it's enough for me to hold my integrity. It's enough for me. I have enough faith to believe that he's going to bring me out. And in a court of law, you have to, some cases, they bring witnesses, whether they be false or real. Job's wife turned against him and said, hey, why don't you curse God and die? His friends turned against him. You must have sinned. Just because you go, and let me say this, just because you're going through a test and it looks bad does not mean that you have sinned. Doesn't mean that you have sinned. It just simply means that your faith is on trial. God, and sometimes God allows us to go through tests and trials to test our faith. Now, he is not the author of temptation. He does not bring temptation on you. But he tries your faith. He allows your faith to be tested because, number one, he wants you to see where you are in him. Amen? He wants you to see. There are a lot of people in the church that say, oh, I'm strong, I'm this, I'm that for the Lord. And when their faith is tested, they about as weak. They are so weak. But when your faith is tested, you get to see, and the Lord gets to see where you stand in him, where your faith is, your character, your spiritual character. Amen. And that's why I don't like people that say, well, they use the excuse, I'm not perfect. Only person that's perfect is God. Look, let me tell you something. Perfect, the word perfect does not mean, in the natural, it might mean, well, perfect means I have this and I have that and I have this and I got this going on and I got that going on and I got this over here going on. Okay, look, that does not mean that you're perfect. In the spiritual sense, the word perfect means your growth, your mental state in God. That's what that means. It does not mean how many cars you have. It does not mean how many clothes you have. It does not mean how. It don't even look. I'm gonna take it deeper than that. It doesn't even matter how well you leap in the church. Doesn't matter how well you shout in the church. You can have the best dance in the world and bust the lake of hell wide open. But it is your character. It is your thought process. That's what makes you perfect in him. See, you know what? David was a person that was considered a perfect man. Job was a man that was considered a perfect man. And if you don't believe me, David was a person and the reason why I say David was considered as a perfect man, because he was the apple of God's eye. Because in the midst of what David was going through, he would always repent. He would always have praise on his lips. He would always, Daniel, I believe, and this is my own personal opinion, that he was considered as perfect because why? Daniel never lost his faith. He would always pray, even though his faith was tested. The best example we have, and the Lord even said it, that Job, have you considered my servant Job a perfect and upright man? You got to be perfect, you got to be upright. Have you considered my servant Sally Sue, have you considered my servant, John Smith? Have you considered them? Have you considered my servant, a perfect and upright person? That goes the same for us, y'all. The word perfect does not mean how many cars you have, how many clothes you have. Does not mean that. But I'm going to go to a scripture right quick, because we're talking about faith. And I always want to have scripture to back up what we're talking about. If we go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and we can look at verse number 1. Now watch this. Remember when I told y'all the scenario of a courtroom? This is why we need faith. And this is why your faith is on trial. This is what faith, right here. Now I'm going to read verse 1. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm going to read it again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. You see that word in there, evidence of things not seen. This is why we're talking about faith. This is why we say faith on trial. Your faith, if your faith was never on trial, you wouldn't need faith. Now watch this. There's another reason why we need faith. This is another reason why we need faith right here. Verse number 6. We're going to drop down there. And this is another reason why we need faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, this is powerful. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, you can't please God. Job pleased God because he held his integrity. And we said it earlier. I guess we can use in today's language. We can use today's language. We are living in an era of social media. Amen. And in social media, we say, you might hear the word I love you, # the best love in the world or something like that, # Well, when you say faith on trial, this is # my faith is being tested. Amen. It is impossible, the Bible says, it is impossible. Without faith, you need faith to even # please him. Amen. You must faith, and I'm going to go back to the social media part of it. Amen. I'm going to use today's language. Faith is # belief. You must first believe. It's saying without it is impossible to please him. So it is telling us without belief, if we don't believe him, it is impossible to please him. We won't know. You can't be drawn to something if you don't believe it. Let me show y'all something. I had somebody ask me, And this was, I believe, in high school or middle school or something like that. I had somebody ask me, why do I believe in God? you can't see him, you can't touch him, you can't see him with a natural eye, you can't touch him with your physical hands, you can't do much with this person called God. You can't do nothing with this person called Jesus. This is what this person was saying to me. But I did it like this. I said, okay, I used one thing. I said, and the Lord brought something back to my remembrance also to use for the show today. And that was, number one, all through school, we have something called a history book, right? It tells us that George Washington was president. It lists all the presidents that we've had. Amen. It lists through history all the things that have taken place here in America, sometimes around the world. But how do you know that this stuff took place? Were you there? You don't necessarily know if it was true or not. Amen? But what do? You believe that George Washington was the first president. Amen? You might say, well, I got evidence that George Washington was president. His grave site and this and that and this and that. So what is the proof that Jesus lives? Well, the songwriter says, I can feel him in my hands. I can feel him in my feet. I can feel him all over me. This is the thing. This is the evidence to prove that he lives. He lives on the inside of me. When you receive the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have what? Power. Now, that's proof right there that Jesus lives. You might say, well, how? Say, for example, you are in a dilemma. Well, you're dealing with an individual that's getting on your nerves. This person getting on your nerves. I mean, they on your last nerve. You got a half a nerve left, and you about ready. Your flesh want to go off on this person, but the Holy Ghost keeps you smiling, keeps you, and you like your old self would have said, hey, look, I'm about to go off on this individual. I'm about to give this individual a piece of my mind. But it was the Holy Ghost. For example, my grandmother was got saved a month before my father. A month before my father. And my dad said, before my grandmother got saved, man, now I didn't know this, and my father always says this too. You know, you knew your grandmother when she was saved. After she got saved, got filled with the Holy Ghost, she was so sweet and so kind and so loving and Holy Ghost filled and all that. But before that, I mean, I've been told stories. That my grandmother was mean, y'all. She was a mean lady. But when she got endued with the power from on high, she was the most, and I have witnesses to back up what my father is saying. I worked with one of my grandmother's former employees because she used to work at a hospital. And she was saved then, and the person was telling me when I started working there, when they found out who my grandmother was, they were like, oh, my God, she was so sweet. She was so loving. She was so kind. She was this. She was that. And I'm like, okay. And if you're half of who she is, oh, my God, we would love working with. I got a job working at that hospital because of her name. That's how, look, see, when you have faith and you have the Holy Ghost and you have your faith built in, tapped into the Holy Ghost, don't you know people, you can leave a long lasting impression on people to the point that it'll be a blessing to the people further down the line in generation to generation. My grandmother left me a blessing by being able to get a job by the way she lived her life. The blessing was passed down. Amen. But that's that faith on trial. And look, let me tell you something. When my grandmother, I'm gonna use this. My grandmother was saved. Before my grandmother got saved, she was mean. When she got saved, my father was saved a month before my grandmother was saved a month before my father was. And my father tells a story about before he got saved, he was a Jehovah Witness. He became a Jehovah Witness. And he was telling the story about him. He was trying to find salvation or redemption or, you know, what we know in the world sense as salvation. We try to find it, and we try to find it in different things. And he didn't know who Jesus was. He didn't know who God was. So he tried to find it the best way he could. And one day he was getting ready to go on a Jehovah Witness retreat. Now, at the time, he knew that, hey, he knew my grandmother before she got saved, but he didn't come in contact with her while she was saved until he noticed this. He was getting ready to go on this Jehovah Witness retreat, and my grandmother came down to a woman's house that was a Jehovah Witness. My dad was down there getting ready to go. And my grandmother came down there and invited my father to church. And this woman, now this is the owner of this house, went off on my grandmother. I mean, went off. And my father watched my grandmother because he said at that time, when this woman was yelling at her, she was acting so sweet and so loving. And, oh, yeah, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And so it wasn't that she was shy and, you know, you don't let nobody run over you. She wasn't letting her run over her, but she was letting her Holy Ghost shine. Amen. And that was truly faith on trial, because my father said, before she got saved, look, if somebody got in her face, she'd beat you up and ask questions later. And that's what he thought. He said, and this is his exact words, oh, Lord, my mother's getting ready to beat this woman up in her own house. And my grandmother did just this. All right, baby. He's talking to my father. I'm going to invite you to church. And soon as she said, invited him and said, all right, baby, I'm gonna go now, and left with this woman telling her off, getting in her face or whatever she did. And my father looked and said, wait a minute, that's not my mother. What is going on? Hold on, wait a minute. And that drew him to think, okay, wait a minute. She got something, because this woman that done went off on my mother actually supposed to be on the floor right now. But my mom just was so quiet and so loving about it and walked out of this woman's house. And so this is what we need to do. This is why our faith is on trial. We must believe that he is what he says he is. Amen. When our faith does two things. Our faith, when our faith is on trial and we show our most holy faith while our faith is on trial, we show our faith unto God, it does two things. Our faith does two things in the spirit. It builds us up and it moves God. I'm going to show you. Our faith does two things. I'm going to repeat it again. It builds our faith. It builds us up. It shows us where we are. And it moves God. You might say, well, how does it move God? Well, let me show you. When you see your faith activated, number one, it says, I will bless the Lord. Psalms 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. It didn't say sometimes. It didn't just say in the good times. It didn't just say in the okay times. It meant in the okay times, in the good times, in the bad times, in the times that I want to get up, in the times I don't feel like getting up out of the bed. I'm a praise him. I'm gonna give him some glory. I'm gonna give him some praise. The Bible also says that when two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be in the midst. Okay. Amen. When we praise him, when we give God praise, it moves God. Amen. It shows us, our faith shows us, our faith is built up. See, well, this is why, and this shows us faith, like I said, it does two things. It shows us that we can believe him. And I'm going to show you this. The Bible says, think on these things. Amen. Think on these things that are loving and of a good report and so on and so forth. You know why it says that? You know why the Lord said do that? Because the songwriter says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I praise God for saving me. He said, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. Amen? It's moving God. It moves him. Our faith activates our faith. When we start thinking about his goodness and we start thinking, oh, wait a minute, he brought me through that. Well, I can believe. We start reminiscing about what God has done. We start thinking about what God has done, and then we're like, wait a minute. If he could bring me through that, he could bring me through this. If he could bring me through that, he could bring me through this. That's think on these things that are of a good report. Those are good reports. Those ain't bad reports. Amen? And we start building up our belief. We start believing him more. And it moves God because we read it. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We start pleasing God. He wants to be pleased. We start praising him. He said, he deserves to be praised. Amen? He wants to be praised. He wants to be lifted up. He said, if I'll be lifted up, you want somebody saved? If you want somebody saved, give him praise. He said, if I'll be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. When you start thinking about the goodness of Jesus, it builds your faith, and it also helps people outside of the area that you are in. Your faith. Look, let me show you something. Faith on trial. See, when your faith is on trial, it also does this. We've read the scripture about the whole armor of God. We got several parts of the armor of God. But I love that part where it says, take the shield of faith that you might be able to withstand the fiery darts. Amen? The shield of faith. When the enemy, the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. What is the standard? The shield of faith. It's a shield of faith. It all comes together. So when your faith is on trial, you can hold up that shield of faith and believe God. If you've ever seen a shield in the big Roman shields, and if you ever seen a Roman or a Greek war, and they have those big old giant shields, that shield, when they hold that shield up and them darts are coming, that shield covers their whole, most of the time that shield would cover their whole body. And especially when they used to take those shields, have you ever seen a movie or a TV show where it was a Roman army or a Greek army or whatever type of army it was, and they had them big shields and they would stand together unified, and you have a whole row of big giant shields together, and all these darts are coming and they yet not getting hit. The army is not getting hit by these fiery darts because of these, all these shields are lined up together. That's what that is. That's the shield of faith. That's what the Bible says. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. You can't lose. Your faith is on trial to help you. My faith is on trial to help me. We need our faith to be on trial. Sometimes we say, well, why me, Lord? Why not? Why not you? Why not? If Jesus was tempted, why not you? If Jesus' faith was tried, why not you? You're not better. We sure ain't better than Jesus. So why not you? Why? It builds up our character. Why? You might say, well, why me, Lord? Why am I going through this? Look, I've been there. You know what? And I'm going to show this. I'm going to give you this example. When I went through my, and I always like to use this as an example because when I went through my trial, when I went through my test with my heart, I never asked God to heal me. From 2005 to about 2000 and I want to say 10, I guess, maybe a little shorter, maybe a little longer, I don't know. But when I went through that, I never asked God to heal me. But I prayed and asked God, hey, look, Lord, I need you to take this away from me. But I never charged God foolishly. I never asked God, look, I can't take this. I never did that. But what I did was I asked God, because at that time in my life, I couldn't praise the Lord. Anybody that knows me knows I love to praise the Lord, especially back when I was a teenager. You catch me at church, I'll be praising the Lord. I'll be shouting around the church. Now, shouting doesn't make you saved. But it's useful. Amen. It's useful in your walk with Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. We read the scripture in Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. So I had a right. So when I went through that ordeal, my faith was on trial. My faith was on trial. Trust me, my faith was on trial. When I said, Lord, why is this? And I asked God. I wasn't questioning him. There's a difference between questioning God and asking God why. There's a difference. Because when you question God, you're like, wait a minute, God, why am I going through this? I don't need to go through this. Why are you sending me through this? Why are you doing this? Why? That's questioning. But when you're asking God a question on innocently asking him a question, like, why am I, like, I need to know, why am I going through this? Is it because of this? Is it because of that? Is it because I'm not where I should be? Are you trying to show me something? That's different. That's different. But I like the way God dealt with my situation, because God never gave me an answer until the very end. Sometimes God will do that. When I ask God, why, Lord, why am I going through this? The Lord never said anything. Let me tell you. He never said anything to me to the very end. And I was going through this, and I'm like, wait a minute. Okay. All right, God, you know, I got a lot of stuff I need to do. And I was talking about spiritually. I was talking about working for the Lord at that time. Lord, I just want to praise you, but I can't because my heart is messed up right now. Physically, I couldn't praise the Lord. That's what I meant by that. I couldn't. And I would try to praise the Lord, and my breathing would go down. I couldn't breathe. It was hard for me to breathe. And my pastor said, my former pastor at the time said, you know, it's okay. You. The Lord knows. The Lord understands that you cannot praise him like you want to. Okay, he understands that. You can just wave your hand and praise, but I didn't want to do that. Hey, look, Pastor, I understand the waving of the hand thing. You know, I understand that. It's a good way to give God praise, but I want to dance before the Lord. I want to shout before the Lord. I want to run before the Lord. I want to do the stuff I'm used to doing. And the Lord never answered me until the very end. And I said, okay, God, I don't want to be healed because I'm looking to go on a trip, or, you know, make money, or go on a job, or whatever. Lord, heal me because I just want to dance again. I just want to praise you like I used to. I just want to praise you like I want to. And I waited for a while. And it wasn't during a service that he touched me. It was during a choir. It was during a choir rehearsal. I mean, the spirit was high. And that spirit got so high, the Lord, and I felt, and this is no lie, y'all, I felt God's hand press his hand. He pressed his hand up against my chest. I felt a warm sensation in my chest. I mean, during this choir rehearsal, we was all in the spirit. I mean, we was high in the spirit, y'all. Everybody was speaking in tongues. We were singing songs and speaking in tongues and all this stuff. And the Lord put his hand on my chest, and I felt a hand, a literal hand on my chest. This is how good God is. And I felt the urge to praise him. I hadn't praised him in months like this. And the enemy was playing with my mind and was saying, well, if you dance, you're going to die. If you dance, you're going to die. You're going to drop dead right here. Now, my faith was activated because I said to myself, and I said to the enemy, if I go down, I'm going down with a praise. If I should die, The songwriter says, if I die, let me die in the army of the Lord. Because I'm going to live again. So if I told the enemy right then and there, I said, I felt the urge to praise the Lord, and I just started praising him. I said, if I die right now, I'm going out of here with a praise. And I started shouting, and, you know, my breathing was under, the Lord kept my breathing under control. And I think it had been like 3 or 4 months, I had not praised the Lord at all. And in during that praise, the Lord was healing me. During that praise, the Lord was touching me. And that next week, that next week or the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks, because I was asking God before then, I said, the Lord, Lord, heal me. Lord, take this away. Lord, Lord, take me out of the environment that I'm in as far as my doctor. Release me from my doctor. What I mean by release me is I was going to the doctor every week and getting bad news. All right. I was getting bad news. My faith was really, really on trial. And I was getting bad news after bad news after bad news. And I just said, look, I did like my former pastor did. I said, look, I respect you in your place. I told my doctor this. I respect you in your place. You are my doctor. You are head over my health. But what I'm going to do is do this. I'm going to do this. Whatever you found, you keep it. Find its keepers. Whatever you found, you keep it. That don't belong to me. Now, I respect you in your place because I need to know what to pray for. So tell me what's wrong with me so I know what to pray for. But I don't have to receive it. My faith, just like the woman with the issue of blood, my faith has made me whole. I may not have been whole at the time, but my faith has made me whole. Amen? My faith. It is your faith that activates God to move. And that was next 3 weeks, I was able to be released from my doctor. My doctor said, you don't have to come and see me. You can come and see me once a month. Because I was going every week. It got down to once a month. Then it got down to once a year. And then he took me off the medication I was on. On top of that. And at the end of it, God showed me. He said, I put you through that trial. I took you through that test. Number one, to show you where your faith was. And number two, because there is somebody. The next month, I believe it was the next month, a sister of my former church, she went through the same thing with her heart. And she said, I know I can make it. I went to go visit her at this hospital, and she said, I know I can make it. And I said, I know you, God is a powerful God. She said, no, I watched you go through, and you never complained. So I know if God can do that for you, he can do it for me. This is why our faith, why not us? This is why our faith is on trial. This is why we go through tests and trials in our life. So today, to sum this topic all up, we must understand that our faith is on trial for a reason. We have our faith for a reason. We have different, I don't want to say characters, but different people in the Bible. That we have different examples in the Bible where their faith was tested. I mentioned a couple of them. You can go back and look these people up. Google them. I'll give you a list of them. The woman with the issue of blood, her faith was tested. Her faith was on trial. Come on here. Moses, faith was on trial. You might say, well, how was Moses' faith on trial? Because before he went, let me show y'all something. Before he went to Pharaoh and told Pharaoh to let God's people go, Moses was stricken with a disability. You might say, well, how was Moses disabled? Wait a minute. Moses had a speech impediment. And in today's society, that would be considered as a disability. Amen. His speech impediment. And he didn't have to believe because he was going up against the whole Egypt. Moses was. And you know what? His faith was so strong. God told him what to say. He said, don't say this person sent you. Don't even say you sent yourself. He said, tell them the I am that I am sent me, which means I can be whatever you need me to be in your life. We have another example, and I'm going to show y'all a couple of these examples that y'all can go back and study where their faith was on trial, and they were able to be delivered. We said the woman with the issue of blood. We said Job. We said Moses. The three Hebrew boys are another one. Before they were thrown into the fiery furnace, they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, they said, even if he does not deliver us from your hand, we're not going to bow because we still believe that he can deliver us. Even if he don't, we still believe that he can. Now, their faith was on trial, but yet they still believed. Their faith wasn't shaken. Their faith wasn't drawn away from what they believed. Amen. And then we have Gideon and the men. Gideon's army. He had faith. Sometimes faith is just obeying the word of God. Gideon obeyed God. That's how he was able to take over the Midianite army. He obeyed God. He obeyed. He didn't just hear it, but he believed what he heard, and he obeyed what he heard. See, belief is an action word. Belief, faith is hashtag belief, and belief is an action word. That's how you activate your faith, by doing what God said do. That's how you do it. And like I said earlier, the reason why your faith is on trial is to show you who you are in him and to move God. Because if you can use your faith to move God, it can move mountains. Faith can move mountains. And you don't have to have a lot of faith. You just have to have enough faith. You just have to have faith enough, a grain of a mustard seed. That's all you got to have. Faith of a grain of a mustard seed. That's enough faith to get you far, further than you've ever been. So when your faith is on trial, just remember that the judge is looking out for your best interest. He said he won't put more on you than you can bear. He said, there is no temptation common to man that God has not made a way of escape. Mm-hmm. He knows what you're able to handle. That's why the devil has to come and ask him before the devil even tries anything. He has to ask God first. He has to go before the Lord first. Before he can even do anything to us, he must go to God first. But what is God going to say about you? What is God going to say about me? Have you considered my servant Job? Just like you said it with Job. Have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant John Smith? Have you considered my servant Sarah Anderson or whatever? I'm just making up names, y'all. Have you considered my servant Adam Tuggle? Have you considered my servant Bishop Cook? Have you considered my servant? My servant. When your faith is on trial, just know that he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly, more than you could ever ask or think. You have to diligently seek him in your faith. When your faith is on trial, you have to diligently seek him. We read it in the book in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you keep seeking him, you build your faith. And if your faith is built, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. We have to get our faith in order to be able to serve him. In Jesus' name. We must do this. We read it before. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. We read that. We got to have faith to make it home. We got to have faith to make it. We got to have our faith. In Jesus' name. I hope this, the topic has blessed you on today. I pray that you are having a very, very blessed weekend. I am having a very, very blessed weekend on today. We're getting so close to the Christmas holidays. And I know I said last week that we were going to be talking about Christmas, but the Lord wanted me to do this. So I'm going to put that on hold, talking about the Christmas season. I'm going to put that on hold, and if the Lord says the same, I'm going to try to do it next week before Christmas, but the Lord wanted me to do this, and so I have to obey the voice of the Lord in Jesus' name. But continue, like I said at the top of the show, continue to wear your mask, continue to do social distancing, continue to do the hand sanitizing thing. Continue to wash your hands in Jesus' name. I know we're in the peak of our another pandemic, the pandemic again. I know the spike has happened, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. And I believe that God is getting ready to deliver us and bring us out of this in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love each and every one of you. I pray that you have a very, very blessed week in Jesus' name. And if you do not hear me on next week, amen. If the Lord should say the same, or should the Lord say, Adam, it's time for you to come home, or you or me, just know that at the end of the day, if you don't hear my voice, just know that I may not see you again in this life, but I'll see you in the rapture in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. Bishop Cook, I thank you for allowing us to come again in Jesus' name. God bless you, everybody. I love you. Have a very, very blessed and beautiful weekend. It's nice. I don't know how nice it is over there in California. I think it's nice over there. Is it nice over there?
10 seconds.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all. I love you in Jesus' name. God bless you. And have a very, very blessed week in Jesus' name. God bless.